Good morning and welcome to Making a Change for Good. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Our assignment from Friday, do your daily practice. Come up with a special way to express appreciation for the practitioner. Remember, appreciation is not related to performance. We're practicing unconditional love and acceptance. And then on Saturday, we changed our focus to accepting. So here's our assignment. Read and record the write-up for this month's focus. As you listen to the recording, look to see how you would like to work with the process focus this month. Jot that down. Example, I find it hard to accept situations in which my individual freedom, safety, and well-being are violated or curtailed by someone else's choices. This process shows up in many contexts. Examples, my choice for a peaceful weekend versus my neighbor's love affair with power tools, people deciding not to wear masks, someone else deciding what choices I'm allowed to make for my body. And then on Sunday, assignment. For the next 24 hours, get as comprehensive a picture as you can of what you hear in your head about the focus you've chosen. As you go about your day, keep your focus in awareness. Notice and jot down what the voices say. What is the conversation in conditioned mind around the process of accepting you are working with? All right, here's our first caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself? All right.
Well, all right then.
All right, let's try. It's interesting, Sherry. Several people are showing up on the queue as in the queue, but without the ability to unmute them, which sometimes happens. But let's try someone else. Hang on. All right, first.
Is this our friend Mercury in action?
It must be, it must be. Okay, I'm going to just pick the first caller I can. Here you go. First caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Kim calling from Vashon. Very
well,
exciting
hello,
to be
Kim.
Here. So
yeah.
Here, I'm starting with the new focus, which is, so the focus I picked was, I suffer when I can't accept that I can't do something to change a situation that causes perceived suffering in myself or others.
Uh-huh. So would that be, I can't accept that I'm not in control?
Yeah, I think it kind of circles back to everything, basically, that we've done for the whole year. I was just seeing that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, go ahead. That's just fascinating. Yeah, it covers the waterfront, doesn't it?
It does, because it's doing instead of being. It's trying to be in the unconditional love again,
Mm-hmm.
So and it kind of for me encompasses what the example talks about too, in terms of like what I can do to affect other people. I can't, mm-hmm. And so it'll be very interesting to kind of see how it all goes for the month.
Mm-hmm. It reminds me of AA or 12-step, to see what I can change and what I can't, and to know the difference and that sort of thing, right? Which would be one way of seeing that. And then the other, of course, is thy will be done, right?
Mm-hmm.
That making peace with the fact that I'm not in control. I'd like to be in control of a lot more things, especially if I could, if it could end suffering, that would be wonderful.
Seems really reasonable, peace. Right?
It seems decent and kind of noble. And then to make peace with the fact that, and that's not how it is. That's not how it works.
Mm-hmm.
Does that feel like what you're looking at, Kim?
Yeah, just the inability, and even in myself when it's both out, it's an inward and outward process, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's a really good take on it, right? So we get identified with ego.
Right.
We do. It's something we have to accept. And it's the lack of acceptance of it, of course, that perpetuates it.
Right. And I guess I've seen in the last, the last 9 months or how even in the midst of like this deep practice that we're all doing and participating in, there's still moments where it's just so easy to get identified. It's just amazing.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. Yeah. And then to be able to accept that.
Right. It's disappointing. I mean, ego's disappointed, of course, but then it's ego who's doing it. Right?
Keep in mind, ego is not disappointed.
Right.
No, ego is a pig in slop. No.
Yeah.
It's hoping we'll be disappointed.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Thank you, Kim. Go happy.
Thanks, Kim. Sherry, I am having some problems with the queue, so we'll just see who I can unmute. Here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Kate in New York.
Hello, Kate. What are you picking? What are you?
Picking.
That sounded musical, didn't it?
Yeah.
I'm
actually picking something musical, accepting where I am with my playing and my songwriting.
Uh-huh.
Which, of course, ego tells me I'm not far enough along.
Right. I got that. And so my question was, do you feel able to do that? And let me give you background for why I'm asking you that question, okay? So people will often say to me something like, well, I just have to accept how I am. And my question is, but do you know how you are?
Mm.
Because the odds are really good, you don't. And so that's my curiosity there. You're going to accept where you are with your playing and your writing. And do you really know where that is, or are you being encouraged by ego to have a skewed view of reality?
Well, I think up until I found practice, I was that reality was dictated by ego. But I think now I have a better sense of that, in that I don't know where I am. I'm just in the process of playing and writing.
Beautiful. There, I just felt great peace when you said that. That what you're really accepting is you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know where you are. There's nothing to compare it to, and nobody to do the comparing except ego.
Yeah. And how ego, the comparison, I think it was maybe last month, the letting go month, that ego desire for comparison you start catching on to the obvious things.
Mm-hmm.
But then it gets just subtler and subtler.
Yeah. So I don't have anything to do with music at all. And I would guess that it would come down to ego's critical listening for any subtle kinds of it wasn't quite as, or that wasn't as, or so all of the abilities that you have, of course, ego is, which is true for all of us, right? All of the abilities we have are what ego uses against us. So you can hear things in music that I would never hear, and that can be used against you.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. I don't have much more to add to that.
Yep, there we are. Well, I just really appreciate the focus on the acceptance of I don't know, and if we want to further that, the acceptance that I'm never going to know, and where then are we?
Yeah,
that realization.
When I hear you say that back to me, I feel so much, like you said the word peace, I feel relaxed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because what we get is we're not going anywhere.
Yeah.
Right? There's only this moment. This is it. I'm not going anywhere. So it's only my experience of this moment that I'm ever going to have.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Thank you, Kate.
Mm-hmm.
So happy.
You too.
Thanks,
Kate.
All
right. Thank you.
I saw several things in that conversation, Cherry, that place of, you know, where does the music come from? It certainly doesn't come from egocentricity. I mean, today's peace quote is, blessed is the knowledge of emptiness.
Mm.
And for that conversation to basically condemn or judge or compare emptiness to what? You know?
Right. Yeah. Wow. That's a perspective.
I can't remember who the person said, but we don't possess our creations, because possession is an ego process.
Yeah. Well, when just with that, I was looking at, for people who think in terms of God, you know, as a ego is perfectly happy to judge God all day long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Well, and that place of that Kate was pointing to, where what is arising in the moment. That's really the creation of the music. Right, in however that arises, everything else is not in music creation. Everything else in terms of how good or how far I am is, well, how does someone else think so? Or how is it that ego thinks that, right? It's
compared
in other
to someone
words,
else.
Yeah, there's actually no making music is where I am. Whether somebody likes it or not is not part of the making music process.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Mm-hmm. It's just so interesting.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if this hangs together, but ego is trying to get a sense of direction in endless space.
Mm. Yeah, but it's got to go somewhere.
Right. It just makes stuff up.
All right, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello.
Hello, who's this?
This is Brad. Hold on one second. Brad in Maryland.
Hey, Brad.
I'm trying to get it. There we go. I think I got it off of speakerphone. Sorry, I listened to the show via speaker. It's funny with acceptance being this month's focus, because it seems like to me that's the heart of all of this, is that ego constantly has me looking towards what isn't as a way of that being my salvation.
Yes.
And
yes.
Even when...
And can you give an example of that for anybody who... can you give an example of that?
Well, just anything. If things were different, I'd be happy.
Mm-hmm.
Just anything. Yeah. It can be so broad. Yeah. In fact, at the heart of it, what really led me to practice was ego telling me it couldn't give me a distinct answer. It just said it needs to be different than how it is now.
Uh-huh.
So it was a matter of coming to the fact of, well, what if I could be okay with how things are, considering that's what is?
What a place to be left, right?
Well, you know, it's like the end of the struggle. And, you know, again, the way that we look at it I guess in our practice is it's not resignation. It's
no.
a matter of simply being with life as it is.
Right. In fact, it's the only joyful place that it's possible to live.
Yes, that you come to realize that, because that is the case through, I don't know, maybe introspection. A lot of time looking at the wall. And
yes. Yes.
And
yes.
Coming
yes.
around to that.
And that's perfect, Brad, because that's such a wonderful picture of meditation, right? It's sitting, basically, in quotes, looking at a blank wall. Can you be as happy as it's possible to be there? Okay, then you can be happy anywhere. If you can't be happy there, you're never going to be happy anywhere.
Yeah, but then, you know, also getting to that internal process that it's looking inward rather than external. Well, there's no inward, there's no outward. I guess you get to that in practice, but it's a matter of not realizing that this supposed happiness is based on external factors. And
yes. In fact, there was a wonderful peace quote recently where it was there's no problem with wanting happiness. The problem is with looking for it outside when it exists inside.
Yeah. And I still fall for it the other way, because all the societies conditioned that way. The world conditioned that way.
Yep.
But
yep, we are, which is what we have to accept.
Yeah. Coming around full circle, well, that's what we have to accept. So this month's focus for me was going to be on accepting that marriage can be hard, that marriage is hard. I don't know exactly where to go with that yet, but just that it's okay when it is hard, particularly with what's going on now.
Well, Brad, here's the thing. If you can compare it to sitting in front, what you went through, making peace with sitting in front of a blank wall,
right,
you'll know that you're up for the task.
Yes.
Because it's
yes,
going to be all the same stuff. I hate this. I don't want to do this. Why does it happen? All the same messages that were there for that blank wall are there for that marriage.
Yeah. And it's almost like not paying attention to the, as you say, not paying attention to the content, but just realizing every place you need to look is where you're going to find the resistance.
Yes. Yes. And right behind that resistance is the happiness that you know you are.
It's just on the other side. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to remind myself of that daily as I push through that resistance.
Oh, we do.
So.
Oh, we do, yeah. Yeah.
Know.
Sometimes moment by moment.
Oh, my gosh.
When it gets really rugged.
Yeah. Amen. Yes.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you, Dad.
All right, good talking to you.
Take care.
Take care.
I'm not going to say have fun, okay? That'll be next time we talk.
Make
okay?
fun for myself. Yes. All right.
Yeah. Yes, exactly so.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Brad. Sherry, what was dropping in for me is part of the acceptance, as Brad said, is that it is hard. The acceptance is of the fact that why should it not be, right? That if I have to live with something that's hard, then it's not going to be different than that. That's about the only thing I can let go of, right?
Yes. Yes, well, and there's so much in that. You know, we can see the entire world of egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate in that. Because we all, to one degree or another, were conditioned with happily ever after. You're going to get to a place where it's going to be easy. And, of course, one of the main places is that you're going to find that person with whom it's going to be easy. Right. And then when it's not, I mean, people are jumping ship right and left because, wait a minute, there's something really wrong here. If people would say what Brad just said, relationships are difficult. They are challenging. Yes. Why? Because we run into ourselves at every turn. We run into ego at every turn. Yeah. And it's ego that's hard, not another person or not a relationship or a situation.
Yeah. Well, and the thing that I've been looking at recently is when you've arrived at the place where you absolutely know that circumstances cannot change, things cannot be different for you to be happier, then you have to be happier. The acceptance of that is the final frontier, right? It goes back to what Kim was talking about. There's a way in which if none of the externals can be changed, how can you be happy?
Yes, that is the question. And we could ask ourselves that question at any point, but ego is the master of, I get that. But if what about that? You can fix that and you can deal with that and that person is, and if you get rid of that, and if you change that, and if you, So, since we're wise folks, we could just say right now, nothing is ever going to change. My job is to be happy.
Yes, and to be changed, or as you said in your blog, it's to be changed by what's going on into a level of acceptance that allows us to be happy, right?
Yes.
Without complicity. Yeah.
Right. Oh, right. Right. There's no, and as Brad said, there's no resignation.
Nope.
Right. We're not talking about that. We're talking about legitimate.
Acceptance.
Our true nature, happiness.
Yeah.
That comes from acceptance. Yeah.
All right. Here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Aloha. This is Laura.
Aloha, Laura.
Hi.
What's going on?
This is, I am having such a hard time even looking at what I'm looking at without getting totally immersed in the duality of ego. And man, the suffering is just right up there.
And
I'm already up to two bad choices.
you're plunging on ahead, huh? And so Laura, when you look at that, is there the temptation to bail or the temptation go through it so many times that finally it doesn't have any ability to affect you?
Well, it seems to me, or to somebody or something, that I've gone through this so many times that this is just one more whirl around the karmic wheel.
Uh-huh. Have you gone through it with this much conscious awareness?
I think so. I mean, of course, there's always how do I know, right? Yeah, because I've been working on this specific issue for quite a while.
And is there some excitement in seeing it so clearly?
Dread.
I know, I ask a lot. Dread.
Dread. Because it pushes me immediately into the two bad choices of either ignore it or end the relationship.
And so it produces, it pushes you into doing, which is how you know it's ego, right? Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
And so what is it like to be in the conscious awareness that is watching all of that?
When I can get there, when I can disidentify enough, I just have great, great compassion for, I guess, the me who's going through this and being tortured.
And, of course, this is are you doing some two-handed recordings with her?
You know what? That totally slipped my mind. No. Okay.
Got it. Might be a perfect time because it sounds like somebody is there who really needs some reassurance that you're not going to ditch her well, in the sentence there, that you're not going to ditch her.
Right, because the other thing I'm being told is, well, this is all projection, and aren't you a terrible person?
Yeah, so we can be pretty sure where that's coming from, right?
Oh, absolutely, yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And yet, what you're pointing at is so important, that that she that we're talking about is receiving all of that, right? There's somebody who's receiving those blows, who has been pushed into this corner of two bad choices, and it's all about her, and there's no good way to go with this, right? She just has to stay stuck there, being beaten and beaten and beaten and beaten.
Right. So when you frame it like that, it's no wonder I don't want to look at this.
Oh God, yeah. Yeah, drugs and alcohol would start sounding really good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And so to have that distance and realize that's actually not you, that's her.
Mm-hmm.
It's a crowded field, isn't it?
It's a crowded field. We have to go beyond that, you know, that Rumi quote, going beyond right and wrong, and I'll meet you there.
That's right. That's the field we're actually getting to, not this crowded one where there's somebody who's
yes.
being identified as the cause of all misery in the world and beaten as a result, and the one who says, yeah, I don't want anything to do with her because, God, she's in a losing situation, and, yeah, all those folks, and, yeah. So it sounds like a good time for some quality time with the mentor.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm hoping there's a little flicker of excitement, Laura, just a tiny flicker of excitement there at the possibility of another option.
Yes. My pilot light has not gone out.
There you go. Excellent.
Okay, thank you.
All right, take good care. Bye-bye.
Thanks.
Thanks, Laura. Sherry, I think we could squeeze in one more caller. So here we go. Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself? Maybe not. Hang on. Here we go.
Oh, hey, it's Erin in Massachusetts.
Hello, Erin.
So, well, actually, the earlier conversations, some stuff really, like, dropped in for me, and it's sort of funny even saying this out loud, but I'm working on, you know, accepting that, like, my eldest child is my child, you know, and and relationships
that I spawned that creature.
Yes, and, yes, I did.
Okay, yeah.
And, but even as I was listening to earlier callers, I was thinking, like, not in a dualistic terms, but when I sort of wrote down all the thoughts and feelings that I had about this focus, there's a lot where I'm just, like, grieving and mourning and angry and despairing. There's a lot of that stuff. And then there's a lot of stuff around, you know, so what are we going to do to, like, move along and help this person,
mm-hmm.
you know, live a fulfilled life? And those are... And I just was like, I can actually just drop all the big part where I'm grieving and angry and despairing, because that is, like, that has nothing to do with the fact of the person in front of me that I'm trying to support.
Oh, gosh, Erin, that is so big, isn't it? Because it's, my teacher, I'll go through this quickly, but this child has a terrible case of the flu. Okay, and is in bed and just I mean, fever of 104 and just in terrible shape. And you're so upset about this that you push the person over in bed and you take the cloth off of their head and put it on your head and take the thermometer out of their mouth and put it in, right? Which is a graphic way of saying how we make it all about me, right? The guise of my concern about you, But we can quickly see that, no, actually, I've lost any focus on you. All my focus is now on me.
Yeah. And then
I think
room.
Is what you're saying, right?
Yeah, and then there's more room for actually supporting somebody when I don't have to, like, support myself as much.
Oh, exactly. Well, when you're not supporting ego as much, right, the way we talk about it, then you're actually available for to be in the what now life, what now. Yeah.
Now, easier and said than done, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, we say all this stuff really fast, and then, you know, we have to face the fact that we're talking lifetimes and all day, every day. And with that, Aaron, what specifically is it that you are accepting? Because that's going to be really important, right? To take it out of that kind of amorphous place that Brad was talking about. Well, it needs to be different. Okay, what does? What does specifically? What are we talking about here? And so it might be helpful to do some narrowing down. And yeah.
I mean, I am just sort of like thinking, like, you know, we're really, you know, day to day, one day at a time. What is the next thing? What is the next thing? And try not to be too future focused.
Yes. Well, and I wonder if part of it is, I need to accept that this is what is. And then we get into the question that I asked Kate. You know, do I actually know what that is? Because it's really hard when we're looking through all these ego identities to actually know what this is that we are now attempting to accept. So it's what I'm hearing, what I'm thinking, what I'm feeling, what I'm projecting, what I'm believing. Can I see all of that, be with all of that in any given moment, so that I am actually able to say, what now, life?
Right.
This is big, huh?
Yeah.
This is where, Aaron, it's really comforting, at least to me, it's comforting to consider that, and it sounds so New Age, but it also has the merit of being true, as far as I can tell. We're never given anything in life that we're not ready for. we won't feel like it, of course. That's the whole point. But we are.
Yeah, I try to, well, like all people, I've had lots of other things happen in my life, and I've really soared. So I'm hoping that happens here.
Exactly. Yes, and our experience tells us that it will. It probably won't look anything like we expect, and we might not know for a while, right? But when we, you know, as you've indicated, when you look back on your life, it's always gotten better. Painful a lot of times, but always better as a result.
Definitely.
All right. Well, take good care of yourself.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you, Aaron. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks, Erin. And Cherry, that brings us to the end of the show. It's a sobering topic for us to be looking at.
Whew!
Yeah.
No wonder acceptance is so big.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess it comes down to the nub of what we're doing in spiritual practice.
Yes. Yes, it does.
So our assignment for today: notice how much of the conversation in your head is in support of unexamined beliefs and assumptions. Assignment: review the statements from the voices that you jotted down. What beliefs and assumptions are revealed? A belief or assumption could be revealed by a single statement or a collection of statements. Write down the beliefs and assumptions. RL, what you see. Example: voices. How can they be so selfish and short-sighted? Can't they see they're endangering other people's lives? Belief: it's not okay to impose our preferences on other people.
Yeah. It's a complex world we're navigating.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you, Ashwini. Thank you, everybody. Take good care.
Take good care.